Okay, I would like to welcome everyone to the sixth in series of Shiurim on the Chasimas HaShas, the redaction of the Babylonian Talmud, which we're speaking about. First of all, I want to wish Ben Milche Mazel Tov on the birth of the baby girl. The Rambam begins Hilchas Talmud Torah by telling us that women are pater from Talmud Torah. I don't know why he begins it with it, but certainly one can die from that. Everything else the Yad Chazak before, the women are chayavin. So based upon that, we have to assume that women are chayavin uvoy simpikul, that yet medabat to tamni chachamim. So therefore, because of this, we give the bracha that your daughter should be medubat to tamni chachamim, and you should have nachas from her. In addition to this, Ben has the question from last time. I hope Rabbi Sally remembers our conversation from last evening. My question to Rishonim is, why the Rishonim can argue on them before the Machorim generally don't argue on the Rishonim? Why do Rishonim hold a similarly resolved position as the weight of Halacha Kefaradi? First of all, the fact is that the Rosh, which is based on Lamed Gimel and Alpha Sanhedrin, who says that in fact that the Rishonim can argue on the Goinim and bring Rayas from the Gemara, the fact is there's a machlekes between the Rosh and the Ravid. As the Ravid holds that in fact actually the Goyim do constitute something which is called the Dovah Shebaminyan. So it's a machlekes on that. There are Achrayim who argue and Rishonim. Moshe Feinstein, the big Litvish Poskim, tend to argue more on the Achrayim. The Hasidic Poskim, I would say, probably have much more of a pachad of the Achrayim. This might either be a part of the machlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam versus the Ravid. It could possibly be that the Rishonim had more self-confidence than the Acharonim have. In any case, it's not really, this is a separate discussion, but that will be an answer to your question in the meanwhile. Regarding the redaction of the Gemara, Ben, which is your second question, you said that I stated that they were anonymous because they didn't make specific halakhic statements. However, in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Hey, which we're discussing, we see they're making a strong halakhic point to argue on Tosefta. So therefore, in other words, why are their names not here? Also, too, about the Rambam, who's arguing on the Gemara in favor of Tosefta. We'll speak about this. The fact is that they're arguing on the Tosefta, but they're arguing in the name of Rav Asi. In other words, basically, they're not explicitly staking a point, arguing the Tosefta, but by developing the opinion of Ravasi, Memela, the Tosefta is being rejected, coincidentally. So since it's not an explicit argument, for this reason it remains anonymous, but we'll get to this in a little while. The final announcements which I want to make is that Amir Tashem on Chav of Cheshvan, my son Yaakov, will be marrying Rachel Akupsky, very close to this undisclosed place in Yerushalayim. Those of you who haven't received an invitation, that's the invitation. You're invited. Just say that you listen to the Shi'urim on HashkafaCircle.com, and you can sit down and enjoy yourself to a meal and some dancing and Simchas Chasan Vekala. Okay, fine. What I want to do now is I want to go back a little bit to what we were speaking in Sukkah. I want to sharpen up some of the points, maybe, tune up some of the points, and I want to get to the main thrust of what I want to speak about today. First of all, the Gemara in Sukkah, we are focusing on Lamed Hem and Aleph. The Gemara focused on a Mishnah in Sukkah, which says that an Esrog of Order is possible. The Gemara brings a Machlokes of Asi and Rav Chiya Bar Avin, explaining the reasons for the Mishnah. The dispute is quickly reinterpreted and restated by the Gemara to be a dispute concerning Maisa Sheni. The Gemara basically focuses on Maisa Sheni, both in Esrog and then in the case of Chala. At the very end of the sugya, the Gemara brings a Braisa as a proof that in fact Chala of Maisa Sheni will be subject to a dispute between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, meaning that Chala has a din mamon, has to have legal value. And the din mamon of Chala is also the opinion of Havasi with respect to the case of an Esrog. And then at the very end, the Gemara says there could be a distinction between Chala and the case of Chala and then the case of an Esrog. What I want to focus on today is, in fact, the Tosfos. But once again, the Tosfos said that why was going interested in bringing a dispute interpreting the Mishnah? An Esrog of Orla is obviously unfit, disqualified, is possible, because since Orla, right, is something which is burnt, which is should be burnt, so therefore it's lacking a shir, and it's a universal opinion that anything which has the din, which has the law, the halachic law of burning, has to be burnt. So therefore, if there's a shir, there's an amount which the object has to have halachically, legally, so therefore we say that shir is miktas kosis, it's cut up, and therefore it's like the shir, and therefore it's possible by definition. So Tosfos makes an amazing statement. The amazing statement is actually the basis of last week's shir, is that in fact, actually, the Gemara was not really interested in the reason for the Mishnah. The Gemara brought the Vasikab Chiba Avin only to speak about Maisa Sheni. That's in fact actually what the Tosfos said. So this in fact begs the question. If in fact actually the Gemara was really only interested in Maisa Sheni, in other words, clearly the Shalom Vitalia of the Gemara switches very quickly to the case of Maisa Sheni, the Gemara doesn't discuss an Esrog of Orla barely after the first line, then in fact, why did the Gemara, well, first of all, we see in Tosfos there's a clear redactor of the Gemara who's directing the conversation. The redactor is taking a machlokes, which really is about Maisa Sheni, and somehow he's connecting it with the Mishnah, but he's quickly evolving that dispute in a dialectical way from the Mishnah to the case of Maisa Sheni. So the question that we raised, right, is that why was the redactor at all interested in the case of Orla, which has nothing to do with Maisa Sheni? Why did the redactor somehow connect it with the Mishnah? Okay, now, the answer I give, we're going to go back to this question by understanding the Rambam. I have here the Rambam in front of me. I have a nice big Frankel edition, which I brought from my house. In Perek Vav and Bikurim, Alaka Dalit, the Rambam Paskin, the Rambam rules, Isa shel Maisa Sheni, if one has a dough of Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim, so he says it's Chayev and Chala. In other words, you have to take Chala from an Isa, from a dough of Maisa Sheni. The Rambam, the Mefarshei HaRambam, the commentators of the Rambam, raise the question, there is an apparent contradiction in two rulings of the Rambam. Here the Rambam says that an Isa, a dough of Maisa Sheni, is a chaya, right, is one has to take challah from a dough of Maisa Sheni, is obligated in challah. On the other hand, though, the Rambam rules the Maisa Sheni, like Rabbi Meir, that in fact, challah is called mamon gavoa. It doesn't belong to the owner of the dough, it belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, according to the Shakl Vitali of the Gemara, according to the reasoning of the Gemara, Daflabet Hay, the conclusion, which is universally understood by all the Mefarshei HaRambam, is that the conclusion of the Gemara is in fact that according to Rabbi, if we go like Rabbi Meir, then an Isa of Chala is in fact Potter, exempt from Chala, and the Gemara brings an explicit Breitzer to this effect. The Gemara in Lamed Hayamud Beis, when the Gemara says, let's bring a proof for Ravasi, the Gemara brings, and Isa shel Maisa Sheni Patur Menachala Divir Rabbi Meir. So therefore, it's clear that this Breisa is the explicit Tanoic proof of Ravasi's position, at least in the case of Chala, in which case, what we have is a apparent stira in the Rambam. The Mefarshei says in the Rambam is a stira between the Rambam's two rulings, given the give and take, the sugya of the Gemara. So this is the question asked by the Rambam. So it turns out that the Mari Kukas, one of the great commentators of the Rambam, and the Kesef Mishnah quotes him, the Mari Kukas says that the Rambam is not passing of Asri, but is passing like of Chiyah Ba'Avin. And the Psak of the Rambam, the Ruach Ba'Avin, is based upon the fact that there's an explicit Toisefta in Challah, which says that an Is of Challah is Chayiv even according to Rabbi Meir. Or according to Rabbi Meir. Okay? So in other words, the Rambam is paskin. And now what's very interesting is, the Marin Caucus says the Rambam is paskining not like the give and take of the Gemara, but he's paskining according to Toisefta. In fact, the Marin Caucus says, and I'm calling the Marin Caucus, Derech Rabbeinu, it's the Derech of the Rambam, hear this, it's the Derech of the Rambam, Shaloi Lefsoik Mitoich Baso Matin, it's the Derech of the Rambam not to rule, right, from the Masa Matin of the Gemara. In fact, not only does the Marin Caucus says this, but in fact, actually, the Migdal Oy says this, and the Magen Mishnah says this. In other words, this is a opinion of many poskim. The Rambam tends to, I won't say disregard, but tends to rule sometimes against the Masa Matan of the Gemara in favor of a Tosefta. Now, the Rambam tells me this already, the Zagdama. The Rambam says it's Zagdama to the Mishnah Torah. The Halacha will come from the Talmud Bavli, the Yerushalmi, the Tosefta. In other words, the Rambam says, I'm not bound by the Talmud Bavli. I'm bound by the Tosefta. Okay, now, what do we get from this Marin Caucus? Once again, I'm not saying anything new. All I'm doing is trying to understand fundamentally, in depth, what are these G'dayli Achreinim, or Rishonim and Achreidim? My Caucus sounds probably more like a Rishon, or maybe certainly an early Achreinim. What are they really saying? By saying that the Rambam is ruling like the Tosefta over the Masapatan of the Gemara, what they in fact are saying is that the Masapatan of the Gemara is coming to argue on the Tosefta. In other words, I don't accept the belief that the Gemara never saw a Tosefta. It's not true, because sometimes many times the Gemara quotes a Tosefta. But as the Rosh says in Chulin, you can look at my article in this latest journal of Rishimu, many times the Rishonim say, very often, that in fact the Gemara will rule against a Tosefta. So what happens is, what comes out is that according to Marin Caucus, the Shakal Vatai of the Gemara is in fact coming lafuke to exclude, to argue on the Tosefta. Now, this is basically the Marin Caucus statement. The Amorayim, or the redactors of the Gemara, were coming to argue on the opinion of the Tosefta. What's wrong with that? Now, the fact is, What right does an Amora have to argue with Tosefta? If an Amora has an explicit Mishnah, I understand how he can argue on a Tosefta. But what happens if he doesn't have an explicit Mishnah? Now, it is true that the Gemara must is a Braisa. But maybe a Braisa is not enough to argue on a Tosefta. In other words, a Tosefta is also a Braisa. Maybe yes, maybe no. So, my opinion is the following opinion. The fact is, if you look at the article in Rishimu, you will see an argument made, that in fact, the way I understand it, you have to look at the entire argument there, I can't reproduce it now in the Shia, is that, in other words, and this is clear from several diukim in the Shuva, in the Mikhtav, the Egeras of Shura Goin, that the reason the Gemara doesn't bring Tosefta's many times is because the Gemara understood that halachas interpreted from the Mishnah would have greater weight than that of Tosefta's. The Tosefta was coming as a certain throwback to original braises. Rebbe's revolution, which was continued by the Barayim, was to derive halachas from the Mishnah. Now, which means that what? Which means is that the argument on a Tosefta, which should probably come, not necessarily from a Braisa, perhaps, but more from saying that this is not the proper interpretation of the Mishnah. In other words, the Tosefta cannot argue with a Mishnah or on an interpretation that I'm going to muster from a Mishnah. So now like this. The fact that the Gemara begins with the Mishnah, even though the Gemara abandons the Mishnah, I claim what the Masa Matan, what the dialectical give and take of the Gemara is coming to signal to me, is that even though there's a Tosefta, the Tosefta has no basis in the Mishnah, and since it has no basis in the Mishnah, there's no reason why, in fact, it should carry halachic weight. So in other words, by anchoring the give and take in the Gemara on the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah is not speaking about Maisa Sheni, nonetheless, what the Gemara is signaling is that we believe that since the Tosefta has no Makor in any of the Mishnayos, and they were only bound by Mishnayos, as such, right, we do not have to accept the halakhic authority of Tosefta. Coupled with the fact that the Braisa is directly arguing on Tosefta. So this is what I understand what the Gemara was doing. Now, you should know something. This is not Soifdova, the Ritfor, which I'm not going to go through the Ritfor because I don't want to make this into a Shir in Gemara. The Ritfor actually produces a Svara, how you could get it from the Mishnah. You get it from the Mishnah. But I'm not going to go into it right now. That's already layers and layers. But the fact is, what the Gemara is really claiming is that we, Abarayim, are taking authority from the fact from the Mishnah. The Sefta has no Ach Vereya in the Mishnah. And because of that, we can argue on the Tosefta, right, by passing like a Vasi. Now, this is what I want to claim that the Gemara is doing. Now, there's a very interesting part of the Gemara. The Gemara concludes the Shaka Bataya, and the Gemara says, Lema Misayeli. Let's bring a proof to Ravasi. What's the proof? The Gemara brings a Braisa. Isa Shomaisa Sheni Petur Menachal De Vrameya. And Isa of Chala is exempt from Chala called Rameya. Chachomim say it's Chayiv. The Gemara asks a question. Lei Masayele. What do you mean Masayele? He. That's a restatement of Ravasi. Ella says the Gemara, no. Midat Bahapalike. Do we say that what? Since they're arguing Chala, Bahad Namet Polike, so we'll say they argue also in the case of Esrog too. Or do we say no? The Chala is different because it says that we say Seichem twice, right? And therefore, you know, Chala will be different than the case of Esrog. What Chala requires a stronger human, in other words, Chala requires a stronger human component in the case of Esrog. You know, we can say that maybe Esrog, even according to Rabbi Meir, will be possible. Now, that's what the Gemara ends up by saying. Now, this he is very difficult. What's he? What's the Gemara saying he, that the way you take this is a mistake? So, I mean, he, that's a statement. So, what's the Gemara saying he? What's a restatement? I mean, didn't you know what the sug is? The sug was speaking about Esau, we're not speaking about Chala. We brought Chala in because Chala is also related to the issue. But Ravasi was speaking about Esrog, the Maisa Sheni. He wasn't speaking about Chala. This is not a Sukkot Chala. This is a Sukkot Esrog. This is Sukkot. Now, what is the he doing? So, I saw here one of the scholars wants to say that it's Pashut. It's much to him that he and he is somebody else. He's not, in other words, he is someone from the outside. He's the he guy. He's the he guy. And he says the following thing. You know what? How could he say, in other words, what do you mean he? And then the Gemara, in other words, he says he is the same thing. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? The distinction between, in other words, he says he is the same issue. The Gemara says, well, you can distinguish between Chala and Esrog. So what do you say he for? There's obvious distinction. So it must be that the he guy never saw the statement the Gemara distinguishes between Chala and Esrog, right? I mean, the best way of answering a kasha is to say that no one ever saw anything. So, in other words, so basically, the claim is the following claim. He wants to know the Shaka Bataya as follows. What?
You're going to say who it is?
Well, I'll say it's Halivni. Halivni, Makot Basara, learn Shaka Bataya. He wants to say what? He wants to say that the fact is that usually when the Gemara says Le Masayele, the Gemara usually rebuts it. So the Hihi guy saw the Le Masayele, but he didn't see the rebuttal. So he asked the question. So he should have asked the question, where's the rebuttal? Because we know the derech of a Le Masayele is to make a rebuttal. So where's the rebuttal? He says, well, if you ask what's rebuttal, you shouldn't have to rebut it. It's a restatement. What are you saying? That's very nice to answer a something like this by saying there was this total confusion and no one knows what everybody was saying, but you're not answering the question. To say that he never saw the rebuttal contributes actually zero to understanding what's going on. Why? Because the question is, how come you didn't think of the chiluk yourself? You weren't following the whole shock of Italia? Well, maybe you didn't see the whole shock of Italia and you said he in a vacuum and someone pinned you on right in the middle of the shock of Italia? That's absurdity. In other words, he's not answering the question. I'm willing to accept the entire critical analysis if you would answer the question. You didn't answer the question. In other words, the he guy should have recognized Bisvara. There's a distinction between Chala and Esrog.
Why should he have realized that if he never saw the Gemara?
Because the Chiddush is rather obvious, because the entire Gemara, no. He never saw the Lema Sayyele. But the Sukkah is speaking, the speaker is speaking about the Sukkah, speaking about Esrog. This isn't about Chala. It's not a Sukkah and Chala. It's about Esrog. Now, the claim is, he never saw Lema Sayyele. He saw Lema Sayyele, he didn't see the answer of the Gemara. The answer of the Gemara distinguishes between Esrog and Chala. He never saw the Lema Sayyele, let's make it right from Chala. He never saw the Chiluk the Gemara makes after that, between what? Chala and Esrog.
But the Gemara made that Chiluk earlier.
But the Sukkah is speaking about Esrog. This is not a Sukkah in Chala. Chala is extraneous to the Sukkah. The Sukkah is a Sukkah in Esrog. The Gemara goes from a Mitzvah about Esrog and Maisa in Esrog of Orla to Esrog and Maisa Shani. Chala is just being brought in because the Gemara speaks about Maisa Shani. The Gemara speaks about Chala. The Sukkah is speaking about an Esrog. It's not speaking about a Chala. You don't have to be the biggest Talmud Chacham to understand that what he, that, no words, you can say maybe it's not a chiluk, but you want to say he. Rav Asi's statement was only said originally with respect to Esrog. Mm-hmm. He had statements about Chala, but the inner statement is about Esrog. The Gemara's, you don't have to see the Gemara's chiluk to make the chiluk yourself. From the entire, because the sugi is speaking about Esrog. When the Gemara says Lema Sayyele, the Ikka standard of Ashi is coming in the case of Esri, not in Chala. I don't see what your problem is.
The Gemara brings this.
The Gemara is speaking about Esri. The Gemara speaks about Esri. The Gemara speaks about Matzah. The Gemara speaks about a few other things. Then the Gemara speaks about Chala.
So the Lame Masayale guy understands that Chala and Esri are the same halacha.
The guy
comes and says it's the same thing.
No. The Lema Sayyele guy is making an assumption that Esrog and Chala have the same din.
Right.
But you can't say he. Because it's not the actual Rav Asi is being said on Esrog.
But if the assumption at that stage...
But you're not going to say he. Because there's two dinim, Esrog and Chala. I might decide be swallowed that they're related. But the statement of Chala is not identical. It's not identical to the statement of Esrog.
So there's something he got to make.
Right. So he eventually says, "What is Professor Halevi doing by saying he was confused? Because even he was confused. Even he was a Masasik when he made that statement. Everybody was a Masasik, but even he was a Masasik when he made that statement. He's not an idiot. It doesn't answer the question. Now I want to answer the question." In a very obvious way. Who are we attacking?
If the Gemara wouldn't have had an answer to the Hihi. If the Gemara said Enochanami.
What?
If the Gemara wouldn't have had an answer, then what would...
So I would say the Gemara has a svara linking Esrog and Chala.
Right.
But it's not an ident- but if I make a statement on Chala, it's not identical to the statement of Esrog. Because one's an Esrog, one's a Chala.
It is identical.
No, it isn't. You know, you wouldn't say he, because you only have a he on the chala, not on the esrog.
But without a svara to be mechalik, it's all the same.
No, you wouldn't say he.
Okay.
You would say, I mean, you could say the Gemara is su shteling su chala and esrog, but you wouldn't say he. Because Rav Asi made a statement about Esrog initially. You wouldn't say that's a statement of Rav Asi. If I said that in the yeshiva, you would say, well, what are you talking about? Mehechet from Chal Esrog. I could, but it's not Muchach. I don't have, but he wouldn't say he. He says, what are you saying? It's not the same words. But I want to say like this. Hear what I want to say. Okay? Who's the Gemara arguing on, really? Is the Gemara arguing on Esrog? The Gemara is arguing on Tosefta. What's the Tosefta speaking about? Challah. When the Gemara said he, what the Gemara says he does apply. If the point of the Gemara is to argue on the Tosefta, if the point of the Gemara is to argue on the Tosefta, so he makes sense because the Tosefta is being about challah. That is he. And then the Gemara says, but respect to the what? Respect to Esrog, it's going to be a chilah. Meaning like this. What did the Gemara want to accomplish with this? The Gemara really wanted to argue on the Tosefta in Challah. I could create an equivalence or a tzushtel, analogy, between Esrog and Challah. I could not. The Gemara wanted to say, however, that even if in the case of Esrog, I'll say that still I can be yaiti with an Esrog and my Shani Koyt and Rabbi Meir. But Challah is more extreme. Because Challah, it says, and he says Seichem twice. Then the Gemara says, even if you did, the Gemara says, you're going to Tosefta? The Gemara says, I'm going to Tosefta. I'm going to Tosefta. The Gemara says, I'm going to Tosefta. And the Gemara says, even if you don't want to what? Even if you want to grant me that what? That my svara is not good for Esrog Maisa Shaini, that even according to Rab Meir, I can say that what? That Esrog Maisa Shaini is still, I'm Yoitse. But in the case of Challah, I say Seichem twice. In the case of Challah, be minded to me that what? That the sentence is certainly wrong. The sentence is too radical. And there was a Tosefta and Sukkah arguing what I'm saying, Rav Asi is saying in Esrog. Fine. So when the Gemara says he, and then the Gemara says no, there's a chilek between what? Between Esrog and Challah. What the Gemara is saying is that you will argue with me in the case of Esrog and Maisa Sheni, right? But still, uncle, say uncle in the case of Challah. That's what he came to say. He came to say is, that's the statement of, for sure. The on the Tosefta, he has on the Tosefta. But Esrog, I make a chiluk. In other words,
so what have I
gained by this? Very good. He wasn't stupid when he said he. The guy said, Lemasayele, because the guy understood, the guy understood that the real argument was on the Tosefta. In other words, the he guy understood that what's behind the entire thing is an attack on the Tosefta. That's behind the whole Shach of Italia. He. Here you have a price arguing the Tosefta. The Gemara says, right? I said the Masayele, because maybe I can make a chilek between Chalak and Esrog. You know, Esrog is not as Muchach, but Chalak is Muchach, because it's a Rishasechem twice. The Sefta's position is too radical. I want to claim that explains the he much clearly.
So everybody who's learning this sugya, certainly everyone after the Gemara, actually is missing the entire point of the sugya.
No, it's not.
Everybody thinks
No. So I want to claim, right.
Rav Asi, this is really a sugya about knocking out a Sefta.
Yeah, but you see the Marikorkis rediscovered the sugya. What I want to say is, and this is my biggest side in this year, you don't have to be a scholar. In fact, it's a chisolot to be a scholar. If you learn properly the Rishonim and the Achrinim, the Rishon Achrinim undo the sugya for you. That's what the Marikorkis does. The Marikorkis in his Perush on the Rambam gets to the very basis of what the sugya is. The sugya is an attack on the statement of Tosefta that Chala of Ma'ase Sheni, according to Meir, is Potter. That's the essence of the Sugya. The Rabban Pasen like that Tosefta. And on that, the Gemara says, on this point, right, Choyt Le'Yavra. But the Gemara wanted to claim that in addition, the din should be still the same for Esrog, which the Gemara rules like. But the Gemara says at the very end, if you disagree with me on Esrog, you disagree with me in the case of Chal. He.
That's the other Rishonim and all the Achronim missed the point of the Gemara.
No, they didn't. No. Because the Mari, first of all,
Mari Kukas is not the main Rishon on the Sugya.
The Mari Kukas, well, first of all, the Mari Kukas is saying Pshat to the Rambam. The Rambam is the main Rishon, and the Mari is where you pass it, like the Rambam. It's not true. There was the Mari Kukas. The Rambam understood the essence of the Sugya, and the Mari Kukas paskins, and this Lamais would come out of Halacha.
According to Halivni, the Gemarginal was speaking about.
According to Halivni,
everyone post Gemarginal was speaking
about. That's not true.
Apart from Mari Kukas.
No, but. According to the Mari, there's two nafkaminas between myself and Professor Alivni, with due respect. Number one is, according to Professor Alivni, the Gemara doesn't know what he's talking about. According to Mari Kukas, the Gemara doesn't know. So already, there's a big step for the Gemara. Okay? Now, but like this. The Mari Kukas is basically saying the same thing that I'm saying. All I'm doing is taking the Mari Kukas and putting it back into the Shakal of the Tawiyah. That's all I'm doing. The Mari Kukas is speaking as a Poisek, trying to find Pshat in the Rambam. What I'm doing is I'm mapping the Mari Kukas in an automorphic map. Mari Kukas towards comment upon the reduction of the Talmud. That's what he's doing, Mari Kukas. Well, the Mari Kukas says the Rambam is opting for the Tosefta over the Shabbatai of the Gemara. What's the flip side of that? The flip side of that is that the Shabbatai of the Gemara is rejected the Tosefta, which means the Rambam and the Mari Kukas, assuming Mari Kukas is the Pshat of the Rambam, which Avad is a beautiful Pshat of the Rambam, it's the only Pshat I can say in the Rambam, is really shedding light upon what the Gemara is doing. If the Rambam was here, he would be masking with me. He would say, Mari Kukas, Baruch Hashem, someone understood me. There's nothing that all I'm suing is giving a different nusach to the loss of the Mari Kukas. That's what Mari Kukas is saying. Which means if I want a pastor, can I get the Rambam? What would I say? I would say that no, we pass a Kavataya over that. The Mari Kukas says in this thing, the Rambam, the Derech of the Rambam, is to reject the Masabat of the Gemara. Why should the Rambam reject Masabat of the Gemara? Very simply, the Rambam holds along like the Sefta, the Masabata of the Gemara is rejected the Tosefta. So, ipso facto, how did the Rambam understand the Masabata of the Gemara? It was a rejection as far as the Tosefta. The Rambam rejects that. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the same thing as the Rambam, but translating it into English and speaking about redaction. Yeah.
And the Rambam's justification for rejecting the Shakal of the Tarya, going back to previous shurim, is because it's so...
Maybe yes, or the Rambam held that. See, once again, that has to sort of in a little bit. First of all, it's the Rambam derech in many places. Let me tell you something: the Rambam, many places, rejects the Bavli instead of the rejects the Bavli in favor of the Yerushalmi. In fact, there's a many places I can say many places for this. The Goyin, the Biagro, says in Simin Reish Lamed Hei in Orach Chaim. There's a machloikis, the first mishnah, everybody knows this on the internet, the first mishnah in Brochais, the machloikis between Chachamim, Rabbi Gamliel, and the Rambam. On one hand, Paskins, the Chachamim is supposed to read what? Before Chatzos, Kriyashma. The other hand, B'diyevet, I can read Tlabal HaShachar. The Gemara, right? The Gemara in the Bavli seems to indicate that according to Rabbi Gamliel, the Gemara says Chachamim, Rabbi Gamliel, Bavli says Chachamim, Gamliel, and the, according to that, the Rambam should paskin that the Chachila can read until Abba Shacha. So what did the Gemara say that I could read until Chatzos? The Chachila, I don't like B'dievet after, it's not like I'm Gamliel. Comes along the Goyin and says the Rambam is basing himself on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi learns that according to Rabbi Gamliel, at the Chachila, I should read the Chatzos, but yeah, according to Chachamim, I can only read the Chatzos. That's That's the Biagro. And the Biagro says the Reish Lamed Hey, I forget the Rav Shehei, the Derech of the Rambam is to go like the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. As the Goyim says, the Derech of the Yerushalmi go like the Bavli. Okay, that's what the Goyim says. So we see clearly, even though it's Halacha, right, Levach and Klai Yisrael of the Bavli Yerushalmi, the Rambam was something after the Yerushalmi, the Bavli.
How does Rav explain that?
What?
Why would he do such a thing?
I don't know, but can I tell you what I say about that? With great respect, with tremendous humility, I want to be chalik on the going. Why? Why don't we be chalik on the going? Because the Rabbeinu Yehuda paskins that according to Chachamim, I can't take Rishayim to Chatzais. Now, the Rabbeinu Yehuda doesn't go like the Yerushalmi. He doesn't go like the Yerushalmi. Why would the Rabbeinu Yehuda take such a position? Okay? Not only that. Should I say this or shouldn't I say it? Right, right. No, the Rambam. Yeah, fine, right. I'm the Rambam. I know it. In the Cairo Geniza, they found fragments of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi brachas and Yerushalmi ksuvas. But where is this? Shaul Lieberman discovered and proves quite conclusively, and he brings raya's from Perush Mishnayos of the Rambam, where he says this. The Rambam wrote, or began writing, a riff on the Yerushalmi. Composer, just like there's a riff on the Bavli, the Rambam says, he refers to us in the Perush Mishnayos. Look at the Hakdama of Shaul Lieberman to his Sefer on the fragments of the Yerushalmi. I forget what the Sefer is called. Something Yerushalmi, whatever it is. Whatever it is that the Rambam says in other places that he was composing a riff compendium of the Yerushalmi. And Lieberman, I think, proves it very, very thoroughly from the Ksav Yad of the Rambam, from the Shays of the Rambam, that this, in fact, actually, he's mentioning him for the Rambam. Now, let's assume that Lieberman is right. I expect the comments to come in. Let's assume he's right. Although I hope my writer for the Rabbeinu Yehuda is a good writer. But like this. If the Rambam, like the Goyim says, is going to do Shalmi with the Bavli, it should be there, right? In other words, this rule Shalmi here, understanding the Machos of Rabbi Gamliel, the Chum should be there in the Rambam's compilation of the Shalmi, right? But it isn't there. It's not there. Why is it not there? So I'll tell you why it's not there. The Rambam is coming from the Bavli. The Bavli said the Chachamim made a sayag. What is a sayag? A sayag means an iser. Look at the Rambam. A sayag means an iser. His mom and sayag is an iser. Chachamim made a sayag means they made an iser to say kriyish by the chatzais. That's the pshat of the Rambam. It's coming from the Bavli. In other words, the Bavli says Chachamim made a sayag. That's the kriyish by the chatzais. A siyag means an issa. What's an issa? They created a new issa. Rabbeinu Yehuda says, "Not say kriyish by the chatzais." So if that's true, what is Rabbeinu Yehuda's position? That the chachirim say the chatzais, but the eved, because they don't have a, that's the pshat in the Rambam. He's coming from the Bavli, not the Yerushalmi. But in any case, that aside,
so you chalik on the ground that the
in this Rambam, in this thing, I'm chalik on the Goyim. I'm saying this with tremendous humility.
You saying the Rambam doesn't often?
No. The Goyim is right.
Just in this practice, well.
Right.
They found the Rambam's riff on the Yerushalmi?
Yes. I think what it's called again. Lieberman put out, it's a whole sefer. I have it Xeroxed. It's in the Chevron library, Chevron Yeshiva library, and I Xerox from there. But the mice, there's a nice copy in the, whatever it is. No, it's right, it's beautiful. Anyway. Okay, now. So we've done away with Hihi. Now, I want to just, make one more comment. That the Gemara makes this chiluk between esroig and between chala, but says Tosfos, the chiluk is a dicha ba'alma. Why? Because really, we don't accept this distinction. That's what Tosfos says. Dicha ba'alma. That's what it's written for. A dicha ba'alma. It was the Gemara basically felt they had to say something to rebut the Lema Sayele, which is the derech, like the ritfos at the end of Erevin, that the derech of a Sela is always to be rebutted, but really, the Gemara just had to go through the motions of rebutting something, didn't really mean a rebuttal. Now, what do you mean the Gemara just had to go through the motions? What is this? Is this MS or is this going through motions? What does it mean a dichoy ba'alma? What does it mean a dichoy ba'alma? So, what I'm going to question is, I hold that every dichoy ba'alma is also a message too. The dichoy ba'alma is that the makar of my objection is Tosefta and Challah. That's a dichoy ba'alma. In other words, the dichoy ba'alma is a gilui on the entire sugya that I'm coming to argue specifically on the Tosefta and Challah. That even if what? I make a distinction between Esrog and Challah. Challah, right? Has to be Yaitzi B'Kot Rabbi Meir. Challah has to be B'Kot Rabbi Meir. That's the Babli statement. The Dich Ba'alma is not... In other words, Dich Ba'alma is just trying to tell me not, they might have the same thing, not a different thing. But Challah is the most extreme case. That's what Dich Ba'alma is coming to tell me. It's like a dicha ba'alma, but it's coming to tell me this metahalachic message. Okay, now, Baruch Hashem, I think we've learned this sugya, I mean, more or less, but we see very, very clearly, and once again, I'm speaking the Tosfos, I'm speaking the Marikukas, we see clearly that if we examine carefully the words of the Rishonim, the Dei Achronim, right? We can actually unravel the sugya, understand what the redactors of the Gemara are doing. And what they were doing was, they weren't scholars looking for what was the original meaning of this braisa, of this Mishnah. What they were doing is, they were paiskim. And as paiskim, they were trying to present a position, and they were trying to present the position, also present the reasoning of the position, and in fact, only to present on what basis they were asserting their authority.
So you're saying that the Gemara held that the Meisah Sheni can be derived from the Mishnah of Achala?
It's not a stira to the Mishnah. There was no right from the Mishnah. In other words, the Tosefta...
That's why it was necessary to bring it into that context?
Right, that's what I claim. Yeah.
This Mishnah is not a stira to that to the ruling on Meisah Sheni?
Right, no, the Mishnah is not where the Mishnah... There's nowhere in the Mishnah...
There's nowhere in any Mishnah.
Right, no, I understand that. But since I was speaking about Esrog, and speaking about Lachem and Esrog, which is related to this, so therefore in the case of Esrog, there is a natural connection, because Esrog is Lachem, and the case of Ma'aseh Shem Yerushalayim is also a deal of Lachem. But, in other words, what I'm saying is that I claim what the Gemara was saying by basically the Mishnah was just to communicate this idea that the Tosefta, right, has... In other words, there's no makor in the Mishnah for this Tosefta. The Tosefta is a wild gun. There's no reason to say it based upon the Mishnah. That's what I claim the Gemara was doing. And that makes sense. In other words, that's how the Gemara speaks. You have to understand how the Gemara speaks. For example, a Mishnah says, in Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Zaklal. And the Gemara says, Zaklal Asui Mai. What does it come to include? What do you mean? The Mishnah says, Zaklal. What is it, Asui? Because the person who doesn't understand how Mishnah speaks says, what does that clap to do with the concept of glue? But a person who understands how the Mishnah speaks, as the Yomar who understood the Mishnah, understood that when it goes to that cloud, it's coming to include another case. And this is really what I claim is going on in the Gemara too. When the Gemara takes a machloikas on a Mishnah and then quickly restates it to something else, the Taisa says the whole purpose was to write something else. So what the Gemara is really saying, in my opinion, is that the din that I'm eventually coming to argue with has no basis in the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara does. I claim that's what the Gemara is doing here. Otherwise, how would I possibly explain the Tosfos, which says that the whole purpose of the Mishnah was the final way of getting the case of Ma'aseh Sheni? That's what I claim the Mishnah is. That's what I claim the Gemara is doing. Yeah, I don't think I'm being mechadish anything here. I think I'm just reinterpreting the language of the Rishon in terms of how the Gemara is constructed. Just like when the Gemara says Zaklal Asui Mai, is just saying, reinterpreting how does the Mishnah speak when it wants to bring a case other than the cases that it brought. That's how the Mishnah speaks. That's how the Gemara. That's how the Gemara speaks. Okay. What? Anyway, that's. I got everything's smaller.
Okay. I don't know if the Rambam needs to say this, but what we're left with is that the Rambam had a problem with the way the Amiran dealt with Tanaic works other than the Mishnah.
I don't think he had a problem. Look, first of all, let me say, I'm not saying this. The Magid Kukas, the Magid Mishnah, and the Middle Ezra are all saying this too. I think the Rambam is saying is that an Amoraic interpretation of a Mishnah, right, does not necessarily carry the same weight as an explicit Tosefta.
If we understand the Amoraic ruling was with an awareness of the Tosefta, which we're assuming,
yes,
then it means that the Amoraic was specifically claiming that we believe for some reason that this Tosefta is...
Because the Amoraim understood that that's exactly what I speak about in this article. The Rambam understood that the Tosefta, in other words, that basically the redaction of Rebbe's Mishnah was intended that all future halachas should be generated from the Mishnah, not from Tosefta's.
And the Rambam understood otherwise.
Right.
The Rambam argued on the Amoraim and intended the Mishnah.
Yeah.
I mean,
right. The Rambam understood otherwise.
It's a very, very fundamental dispute between
Rambam and Amiraim. Look at that. There's a Milchemes at the end of... Look, the Rambam possibly told the Rosham according to the Goyim, right?
No, here the question is, what is the essence of Masayro? How was the Mishnah meant to be interpreted? Really?
Look, either way, how do we explain the fact of these Achroinim who say the Rambam rejected the Masa Matan and the Gemara? How do we explain that? I think there's actually a Chuvas Rambam that says the same thing.
I don't know if it was Pashut that the Amiraim saw in Tosefta.
I find it hard to
believe.
I find that for two reasons. Number reason is, for example, the Rishonim, like the Russian Chulin says, and actually I showed in my article, that many times the Gemara reject Allah for the Sefta. There was Masha from the Rishonim that they didn't that the Gemara saw the Sefta, but reject Allah for the Sefta. The Rosh says explicitly that many times the Gemara passes the Gemara to Sefta. Number two, many times the Gemara brings it to Sefta.
They could see it and sometimes not. It's different on my right. You'd have to show that this same Cairo was aware of Tosefta in the same as that.
I understand what you're saying. But you see, if that's true, on what basis would anybody pass like a Gemara? If the Gemara, I mean, let's assume not like the Rambam. Let's go the other way. Most Rishonim say we don't go like Tosefta, we go like Gemaras. Most Rishonim sound like that. So, if the Gemara saw Tosefta ruled against Tosefta, I understand why we're going to Tosefta. The Gemara rules against it, right? The Gemara is Sefer Ha. But if the Gemara saw Tosefta, we should go with Tosefta, because maybe the Gemara was mistaken. Just like the Rosh in Lamed Gimel Sanhedrin says that, in other words, if a Rishon never saw the Goyin, he can't pass Kaga the Goyin, maybe he saw the Goyin, he changed his mind.
Well, presumably we say that the Gemara is Sefer Ha regardless of whether they were right or wrong. Our relationship to the Gemara is not one of...
But what is Sefer Ra? It was Sefer Ra if you look at the Rosh and Sanhedrin, they compare the Sefer Ra of the Gemara, Dov Hashem Aminyan, to possibly could be the Goyim and the Rishonim. In other words, just like a Rish would make a ruling and didn't see the Goyim were against him, that had he seen the Goyim were against him, he should change what the Rosh said. The Rosh says this. Then, in other words, what Beheretz see in the Gemara should be, it'll be different. I don't see where the Gemara should be different than the case of the Goyim.
Well, the question is the very mechanics of halakhic tradition are really are being disputed. The Rambam.
Right. Well, let me tell you something. What about the
Ushami? Sees it one way, and the Rambam saw it a different way.
What about the Ushami and the Bavli? Most people go to the Bavli, but sometimes the Rambam goes to the Ushami.
Well,
in fact, there's a Milchemes at the end of...
The Bavli are an equal pairing in terms of authority.
That's not true. That's not true at all. We pass on the Bavli, we'll do it. That's not true at all. We pass on the Bavli, we'll do it.
We would say the Bavli can't be Chalik in the Yerushalmi. We wouldn't say anything like that.
Yes, we would. Many times.
We would say that we would pass him like...
Rishonim can say to say the Bavli, in fact, according to the... There's a riff in there of it, it's Mashu the Bavli, it's all the Yerushalmi. It's Chalik HaKana.
Why can't
Bavli
Chalik
in the Yerushalmi? No. Why would pass it to Bavli? Pass it to Bavli because the Bavli came last. But you see... To say the Bais of the Rosh Hashanah means Cholika,
then... No, but here we have a case where the Amiram understood Masayra one way, and the Rambam is saying, I disagree.
The Rambam saw it as a Machlokes. The Rambam saw... The Amiraim saw it as a Machlokes, but the Rambam might have felt it was a Tosefta. Look, the Tosefta was passed on. So I might have thought that in such a case, I could offer the Tosefta over the Amiraim.
But the way the Rambam's understanding it, it's not that simple.
But the fact the forget about my understanding of it. How do you explain? How do you explain the Marikukas, the Magad Mishnah, the Middle Oisei?
He doesn't deal with what Tamir Rambam did with the Tesafta. He doesn't deal with that.
No, but he says that Rambam would not pass him for the Masa Matan of the Gemara.
The Rav saying that implicit in the Gemara is a systematic rejection of the Tesafta.
The Rav says that. The Rav says that. The Gemara rejected Tesafta. The Rosh, I'm not saying the Rishonim don't say. Rishonim can say the same. Rishonim say that's why many times the steel to Sefter and the Sugya, the Rishonim reject the Sefter. Gemara says that our Gemara doesn't hold like that. And the Haraya, the Gemara very rarely brings the Sefter when it appears in the Sefter. That's what I claim. I say to say that the Gemara never saw the Sefter, in my opinion, is a more dangerous statement. Why? There's a whole Yiddish guy that the Gemara never saw. The Gemara was anecdotal. Maybe the Gemara would have said the Tesefta. The Gemara would have changed. The Gemara would have flipped over the Gemara. They saw the Tesefta, Vada.
No, Rebbe edited all the Tanakh works that were before. We have the Mishnah, and then the things that were left to by the wayside weren't handed down.
In my article in Rav Shira Goyen, in Medayik, in Rav Shira Goyen, that there was a machlokes between Rav Shira Goyen, between Rebbe and Mabchia, and I bring a Gemara in Lama Gimel of Beis in Bab Messiah to prove that. The Gemara says I should rats to Gemara more than Mishnah, and then the Gemara after says that rats to Mishnah more than the Gemara. And the way I understand that pshat is that there was a movement to go to Gemara over Mishnah, but Gemara means, and then it was a to go to Mishnah over Gemara, meaning that Gemara's interpretation of Mishnah. The Gemara statement, "Rat to go to Mishnah over Gemara," means the Tanaic sources to Tesefta. That's my pshat to the Gemara of Metzia. But I'm a dying for a Shira going there. That in fact there was a little bit of a machlokas, and that's why the Gemara doesn't bring. But the Tanaic Gemara does bring Teseftas. Look, as a from Jew, I feel more comfortable in saying that the Gemara needs a Tesefta and pass it against the Tesefta.
Yeah, but to say that the Rambam for a revision of all of Masorah, that's very problematic.
Okay, that's true, but once again, in other words, the Rambam might have felt that, in other words, this was a Machlokas Rebbe and Abchiyah, or the Rambam might have passed that Gemara on Gilan Beis.
Well, in this case, it's not a Machlokas.
Yeah.
Because it's not implicit, it's not the fortune of Mishnah anyway.
Yeah, anyway, but that's what I think, yeah.
Well, we see a number of times in the Gemara where it says, if Rebbe never saw it, where did Rebbe Abchiyah get it from? Rebbe Chiya wrote the Tesefta, right?
Yeah.
So isn't that implicit that the Tesefta is coming from the Beis HaMedrash of Rebbe?
No, it isn't. You know, Shira Goyen is certainly not coming from the Beis HaMedrash of Rebbe. First of all, the Gemara says in Pei Vav, Stam Tesefta Rebbe Nechemya. It's not clear what's Rebbe Nechemya, what's Rebbe Chiya. But no, if you look at Rebbe Shira Goyen, this is maybe where the other Rebbe Shira Goyen, it's clear that there was a bit of a machloikage in Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya.
So what does it mean if Rebbe never saw it, where did Rebbe Chiya get it from?
The question, where did Rebbe Chiya get it from? Rebbe never saw it. What the Gemara is saying is, that's the Gemara's way of saying that, in other words, that we don't go to Rebbe Chiya. In other words, Rebbe saw it and rejected it. That's what Gemara is saying. Rebbe saw it and rejected it. Rebbe Chiya get it from, meaning that what? He rejected it. I have to make up my eyes. I'm sure going to say I understand that there here is a dispute between Rebbe and Abchia over how halachos will be generated. Abchia wanted to go back to more Tanaic statements, and Rebbe understood that it has to be done through Gemara. The Gemara says Langel and Beis that we may Rebbe Nishna Mishnah Zu, which means Gemara. I mean, Gemara. It's Mishnah, but Rebbe, in my opinion, instituted Gemara. That the Gemara would elucidate and interpret hermeneutically the Mishnayos, and that's how halachos would be generated, as opposed to Rebbe Chiya, who preferred to go on more Tanaic statements.
And the Rambam?
For the Rambam, I say the Rambam obviously doesn't understand the way I understand it. Okay. But the way I understand it is the way most people argue the Rambam understand it. Or the Rambam might have held that, despite that Gemara, you know, the we can sometimes go with the Tesefta. Rabbi doesn't go consider like the Tesefta, but sometimes we'll pass like a Tesefta. Anyway, in any case, I think we have come to the conclusion, right? I want to just summarize what we've said. I mean, of course, there's a lot to speak about here. And the very, very fact that the Rambam himself says in the Tshuva that that person shouldn't look too much at the Masamat Lekimvach. I mean, the Ayin Kulkas and the Magad Mishnah not saying something Ram didn't say himself. They wouldn't say such a statement. But in any case, what I think is important is we see over here how the Gemara was redacted. And it wasn't that there was a loss of Messiah, that the he guy never saw something. You have to come on to that. The Gemara is directing the Shachar of Atalia to a halachic conclusion. And the he is part of that direction. There's no holes in the Messiah. There's no black holes in the Messiah. It's just that redaction is more than just a scholarly effort in ascertaining what the original meaning of a statement is. Redaction is an interpretation, a heuristic process, by which things are interpreted in order to achieve the halacha, the way the Stam Gemara, the Sugya of the Gemara understands. Okay, in Yom Hashem next week, we'll actually take more examples. And also, too, I want to claim that the way I understand this is actually based upon ideas of the Netziv, and his hakdamas to Haimik Sha'ela, how he understands going from the Gemara to the Shedim to Oinim, right? But we'll leave that for next week. Until then, I've been everybody. Kol Tov.